Hello and welcome to the Neo Gamer Podcast. It's Tuesday, October 2nd, 2012. We're back. It's episode 30. Yes, we told you we weren't going away, and we're back doing our weekly podcast for Neo Gamer. I'm John Callahan, as always, and as always, we have Larry and Tim on the other side of the line. Larry, Tim, how are you guys doing tonight?
Oops, sorry, I just knocked the microphone, but yeah, I'm doing all right, getting the setup back in order, and yeah, it's definitely good to be back. How about you, Larry?
I'm doing good, Tim. Thanks for asking. And likewise, I'm really excited that we're back and think it's going to be a good fall season.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about for the next several weeks as we get through the next massive amounts of gaming releases. I want to quickly talk about something that's popped up on the interwebs that some NeoWin and NeoGamer readers might have noticed. I posted an editorial on NeoWin, which talked about my feelings about how the creator of Minecraft feels about Windows 8, and I gave my views. He posted up his opinion on my opinion, and basically I posted a quick little response in NeoWin's forums in a thread, and basically that's all I'm going to talk about. He's got his opinions, I got my opinions. But I'd be interested to hear what you guys think about this whole thing. I'll just For the next few minutes, I'll just listen in and what you guys talk about it.
Yeah, well, of course, for people who haven't been following this, what Notch specifically said in a title on his post on Tumblr was, "John Callahan, don't be a goat murderer," and he changed that from goat rapist, which I thought was quite offensive and pretty inappropriate considering what was originally posted had no personal attacks of that level. So, definitely a bit of a childish act from Notch, but yeah, it's been an interesting time. What do you think about this whole thing, Larry? Have you been following it?
I've been following it. I think you hit the nail on the head. I didn't see any need for the goat rapist, or even when he changed it to murderer, I still didn't see a need for that. I guess that was his attempt at some humor. But overall, his approach at the whole thing was just really unnecessary. I think at the end of the day, he's actually got a point to a certain degree. I think his overall argument is, but Windows has always been open, and that's why I don't like Windows 8, because it's a closed environment. And that's all I would really have to say is that. But the way he goes about saying things, just I don't know. It's uncalled for, and to me, it's almost a desperate cry for more publicity, or good press, bad press is good press, as the old saying goes. So I think it's almost, I think it's almost some desperate attempt just to make something out of nothing almost. And if he just presented it with some tact and just really got into the fact that, why he's so against Windows 8 and specifically the marketplace on Windows 8, then I think he'd come off a lot better. I still think people would disagree with him, myself included, but just not the way to approach it, in my opinion. And John hit the nail on the head. I mean, come on. You've developed for iOS. You've developed for all these other closed platforms, and now all of a sudden you have an issue with it. It just seems pretty hypocritical at the end of the day. But, I did see someone on our forum say, well, it's his game, and at the end of the day, he could do with what he wants. And, I do agree with that to a certain degree, but at the same time, his game is so popular because of the fans. It's what the fans have made it. So, I think with that said, you need to service the fans to a certain degree. And, at the end of the day, he's just hurting them by not releasing it on Windows 8 if he actually sticks to it. So, yeah,
And he's hurt his opinion. He's hurt he's hurt his own image as well in the process. I mean, my opinion of Notch before this whole thing was, you know, fairly neutral. I never really had anything to, you know, to had to deal with anything that he said. But now it's sort of on a downhill slope a little bit in terms of what I think of him. But and I guess a lot of members on Neowin feel the same. But then again, like you said, people have the opposite opinion as well. And I guess eventually this thing will just blow over and we can all get back to hating or loving Windows 8.
Yeah. Yeah, well, at the very least, thanks, Notch, for the additional hits I'm sure we got as a result of this.
Oh, we got a lot of hits on that article. The one of the John editorial, so that was all good.
Yeah, and John got mentioned on BBC, which was awesome, and a few other places. So, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, there's definitely some positives to it. But overall, it's just something, you know, it was a really, really tasteless approach. And, you know, unlike you, I kind of did have an opinion of him, and I always kind of thought he was a jackass. And this just kind of solidified it even more.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little. So, yeah, you know, more power to him. I know Minecraft is, and like John said in his editorial, you know, I mean, it's one of the most successful indie games, if not the most successful game ever. So the guy's onto something, obviously, but he definitely, I think he needs a marketing team at the very least, or some PR people in his camp. You know, if he had someone tapping him on the shoulder saying, hey, maybe you shouldn't post this, I think he'd be better off at the end of the day. So, like I said, thanks for the additional hits.
Yeah, if you haven't read his John's editorial, you should probably head on Neowin and try find that somewhere.
Yep. And with that, I think we'll just close that particular subject. I think we can all move on from now.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to talk a little bit about this actually happened while we were on hiatus. The Nintendo announced their Wii U launch date here in the United States, and also their pricing for both of their models. They're actually going to be coming out with two different models, one which will be cost $299. And that one will have have a white case. It'll have, of course, the Wii U pad, and what else? I'm just looking at my own story actually. it'll be coming out on. Go ahead. Gigabytes of memory. It'll have the gamepad. It'll have the sensor bar, of course, the AC option and the sensor bar. That's all for $299. And then they'll come out with a second version, which will have 32 gigs of memory. It'll be black. It'll also come with a console stand and the free game Nintendo Land, which I got to see a little bit of at E3 in June. So, and quite frankly, this is just kind of solidifies a little bit about what I thought about Nintendo's Wii U launch at when I saw it at E3, in that this is going to be a kind of a, it's really very much like this reminds me a little bit of the Sega Dreamcast. Although I actually think the Sega Dreamcast was a much better console than what the Wii U is going to be. But I just think it, I mean the Dreamcast was certainly, I think, a much bigger step up in terms of technology, in terms of features, than, you know, the original PlayStation and the original Nintendo 64. But the Wii U, despite a few cool things about it, I actually like the Wii, the Nintendo Wii TV feature that they announced. It just the system itself, it just seems like it's stuck in the current console generation, which started in 2005. You know, but what do you guys think?
Well, I'm just gonna take a look at the list of games that are the launch titles, of course, for the Wii U, which for me, that is the most disappointing thing about the console coming out. I mean, for example, you look down the list and you see some standout titles. You've got like Assassin's Creed 3, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, Batman Arkham City, Darksiders 2. But then you realize that these games are ones that are already on like the Xbox 360. They're already coming out for another console that a lot of people already have. And I don't see why you get on the Wii U when you can get on these consoles. And then you've got other games such as Zombie U and Rayman Legends and Bayonetta 2. Surprisingly, that is an exclusive.
Yeah, that's weird.
It just doesn't seem like, you know, a fantastic launch lineup. And some of those games like Rayman Legends and Bayonetta 2 aren't actually coming out with the console. They're coming out later. So it's very disappointing. There's almost no games here that I would buy a Wii U exclusively for. And
right.
That's just a huge turnoff. But I know, Larry, you've pre-ordered it. So
yeah. Yes, you have.
Explain.
Did you order the $349 version or the $299 version?
Both, actually.
Oh, really? Wow. Well, you have a lot of money. I need to be more friendly with you.
Well, remember pre-orders, you only have to put $25 down, it was. So,
oh, well, that's true.
Real quick, I went to the GameStop by me, and it was only like 3 or 4 days after they announced it. I went to go pre-order it, and sure enough, they were out of the deluxe version. And the kid at GameStop basically said, well, if you pre-order the basic, if we get more allotments of the deluxe, whoever pre-orders the basic is first in line for the deluxe. So do you want to order the basic? So I said, okay. When I went home, I went online, and I was searching and searching, and pretty much everywhere was out. But for some reason, I went to Walmart.com, which I've actually never done prior to this. And sure enough, they still had the deluxe version. Literally 2 hours later, they sold out. So I was able to get the deluxe version on Walmart.com. But I'm keeping my basic pre-order at GameStop because it seems like there might be a little fiasco where they're hard to come by again. So if I can make a couple extra bucks, I figure why not? And I will say, I am pre-ordering it for three games. Zombie U, Rayman Legends, yeah. and the new Super Mario. That's it. And I very well might then sell it when I'm done with those games. And that's exactly what I did with the Wii originally. I got a Wii at launch. I played the new Super Mario and one or two other games. And I was able to sell it for exactly the same price I bought it about 4 months later. I lost no money, and I was able to play a couple games. And I'm thinking I might be able to pull the same thing off here. But I agree. Like Tim said, I mean, most of the games that are coming out, they already exist for other consoles. Those games are not going to move consoles. That's it. So they do have a pretty weak launch lineup. But obviously, I think Zombie U and Super Mario is enough to get my attention. And, you know, hopefully I'm right. I'm starting to read some negative stuff about Zombie U already, that it might not be as good as it looks and all that. But I'm really intrigued by the whole premise. I think out of every game I've seen for the Wii U, that it uses the, you know, controller with the screen the most sense out of every game I've seen so far, with the whole backpack being on the controller and everything still happening. That makes sense to me, and I gotta admit, like, I'm definitely intrigued to see how that plays out. I also like the whole concept of, you know, one life and you're dead. So I'm almost really picking it up for Wii U. And I thought about it. It would be literally the first console I haven't purchased since basically the Super NES. I basically have gotten every console when it's been released. So part of me is kind of doing it just out of tradition, but part of it is I just want to see. And I will also say this. I was able to sell my Wii for $100 about a week ago. So the money that that's going towards it, I was able to trade in a decent amount of games for $100 worth of credit. So the Wii U is almost 2/3 paid for right there. And I'm actually going to have a garage sale and attempt to make up the rest of the money. So I'm doing my best not to spend any real money on the Wii U. So that kind of justifies it for me.
All right.
Yeah. Cool. Cool. Like Tim said, I just think that most of the games on the Wii U launch, and let's face facts, a lot of the lists are not going to be coming out on November 18th in the U.S. A lot of them are going to be Nintendo has a launch window that extends out to March 2013, which is a long time. So
yeah, well after the holiday season, the big popular
Well after the holiday season. So, but I'm still looking forward to seeing, you know, what it, I mean, I'm not going to get one. I'm not going to be like Larry and just get one right immediately. But I want to see what Zombie U looks like. And I'm also interested in Rayman Legends and things like that. And like Tim, I was also surprised to hear that Bayonetta 2 was going to be a Wii U exclusive. So, that's kind of weird. But it's... I still think that I think what this will. I predict this is what's going to happen. I think the Wii U will sell very well. We don't know how many units Nintendo has made, but we also don't. So they may turn out to be. We'll have sellouts. For the holiday season, and there probably won't be too many available to purchase from now until Christmas, you know. But I think that after the Christmas season, it'll be kind of like what happened with the PlayStation 3. The PlayStation 3 was hard to find instantly when it came out in November in 2006, and then around January, people could start buying. You know, people could walk into any store and buy one. And I think that's what's going to happen with the Wii U. I think people will be able just to buy one in the store, you know, in early part of 2013 without any trouble. And that's not like, I mean, if you remember way back of 2006 when the Wii came out, you know, good luck trying to find one for months and months because they couldn't, because it kept selling out. And I don't think that's going to be the case for this one.
Yeah. I also think a problem is that, like, a lot of people aren't really talking about it. Like, I mean, I think I mentioned before, like my circle of friends isn't exactly a gaming circle of friends. But when I hear other people, you know, that I'm around sometimes, they're talking about, you know, what's coming out for games. And I've heard them mention, like, they want to know what's coming up with the new Xbox and the new PlayStation. But I haven't heard mention, like, I'm going to go out and buy a Wii U. That's not a thing that they're thinking about doing. And I think, yeah, that's one of the big problems. But I'm actually looking forward to testing out the Wii U when it comes out. I might be going up to an EA Asia Pacific thing that they're doing, and they're showing off Mass Effect 3 on the Wii U, so hopefully I can get some hands-on time with the console for the first time, but it's not going to change my purchasing of it, which is not going to happen, so... Oh well, too bad, Nintendo.
Yeah, it's kind of bad. I was actually hoping for more. I was hoping that again, I think the television stuff they're going to introduce here in the States is actually pretty cool. You know, with the gamepad kind of serving as a remote control, and you can access live. You have access to a live TV as well as other, you know, streaming stuff like Netflix and stuff like that. You know, I think that shows that Nintendo at least has finally woken up to the fact that, you know, game consoles are more than just games, you know, which is something that Sony and Microsoft have known for a long time. It's just, you know, it just really does feel kind of like a placeholder for what where you can expect hopefully next year when hopefully one or both of the other two game console folks comes out with their hardware.
Yeah.
So, and I think we'll probably, I'm almost certain we will see Microsoft come out with their next generation Xbox in 2013. That's my, nothing based on it, nothing based on anything, you know, insider information or anything. I just think that's my gut feeling that we'll see it. Part of the reason is that the next Gears of War game, Gears of War Judgment, that's supposed to be coming out in April of 2013, you know, and that would be, to me, a Gears of War game should be a fall release. You know, we've never seen a Gears of War game come out so early, and I think they're trying to get that game out for the current generation Xbox console before Microsoft goes nuts with their next generation Xbox launch titles. But that's just, you know, that's just my suspicions.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything. Microsoft is completely silent on it, like pretty much.
Yeah.
The surface pricing and all that.
Sony is even being more silent on what's going on with the with their next PlayStation, with their next PlayStation, which makes me kind of wonder if it's even going to be ready by 2013. Maybe they're going to be coming out for a while longer. But my feeling is that the next Xbox will be coming out before the end of next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I think Sony probably will wait a year. If you think about it, that's how these last consoles were released. The PlayStation came out almost a year later than the 360. So I think that might be their game this, you know, with these consoles, is let Microsoft come out first and then come out.
Yeah, I guess they get to see what the competition's like before, you know, making their final move. So could work out well for them.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to talk? I guess we could talk a little bit about the Windows 8 launch, perhaps in terms of games, because it's hard to believe we're about 3.5 weeks away from the launch of Windows 8, which is it feels like it's been in the works forever, you know?
Yeah, I've been writing news about it for so long. I still haven't got a copy. I'm still using Windows 7. So
yeah, I don't either. I've been trying to get my desktop to try the release preview version, and it didn't like it for some reason. It just said nope, it won't work. So I don't know if that has anything to do with the operating system or just on my PC, but it just seems like there's been a lot of talk about how, you know, and you know, we've talked about a little bit about what, you know, Notch thinks about Windows 8, but also we've talked about how Gabe Newell is very much against Windows 8. He's calling it a catastrophe in the Windows 8 space. So,
is he going to get some chips there or something, Larry?
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. No, I mean, it's like, you know, he's calling it a catastrophe in the PC space. And today, just today, you know, Valve launched their non-gaming software store on Steam with like six titles. But, you know, seven if you count their own free source, you know, filmmaker app, and then six others. You know, I suspected that there wouldn't be a ton of software added to the store at launch, but I wasn't expecting that low a number. Six, really? That's all they can come up with? Wow.
I guess they didn't send enough emails out to people asking to put their apps on the store.
I don't know. I mean, what's up with that?
Yeah, I'm just trying to load and see what six apps these are.
They've got two
3D marks. No one's going to download that. I mean, people do use it to benchmark their systems, but it's not something an average gamer would buy. And
well, I actually like the 3D mark stuff, but that's just me.
In fact, none of these programs are really appeal to a mass market like the Windows Store would, but you never know what's coming in the future, I guess.
Yeah. They also have a couple other, they have this Camera Bag 2, which is a desktop photo app, you know, that you can get, which I've never heard of before. They have this 3D Coat, which is, it's a 3D model creator. You have Game Maker Studio, which is basically a full game development tool system, and it's actually you get the full version. You can get the professional version for $100. You know,
that's what they're
hoping how games will be released.
I don't know, but yeah, it's so they have that, and then the other thing I think that's pretty much it. So that's all of their software titles. You would think they would want where's stuff like Adobe Photoshop. Where's stuff like the paid version of WinZip or some of these other PC apps that we see. So where are the antivirus software? You know, where's all that?
I think that they're trying to be a bit more sort of on the creative side of things rather than just generic everyday apps. Because, I mean, it is Steam, and they're going to appeal to gamers. So vaguely game-related apps would sort of make sense. And if you look at the picture, it's, you know, it's got like a lot nice little 3D model and some pictures in the background. So I think they're geared towards content creation, but... Yeah, I thought the more interesting thing on Steam today was the Elder Scrolls collection being 50% off rather than the Steam store.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like a lot of people, like I said, you know, Gabe Newell is violently against Windows 8, saying it's going to be, quote, like I said, a catastrophe for everyone in the PC game space. And he seems to think, again, this just seems like a big overreaction to, you know, an operating system which, you know, certainly adds that kind of, you know, the Windows Store stuff. But
yeah, no one's forced to use the store. I mean, desktop apps. I mean, I know that the Metro apps, they're restricted. You can't distribute them anywhere else unless you have special developer stuff. But if you have a desktop app like a game, you can put it on the store. That's just more exposure. You can still put it on Steam, on Origin, on your own distributing platforms. You're not restricted. So
right.
I don't see how it's going to be a catastrophe.
Yeah. Now, it could be a catastrophe because of other things. It could be a catastrophe because it just doesn't work very well. You know, and that's, you know, that could very well be. But I think in just terms of its, you know, the whole, you know, closed system, open system, I think that's, you know, I think that's an overreaction. I think that's just, it's going, Windows 8 ultimately will not be a problem because of the, Windows Store system and the Metro system. It'll be because people will, you know, what people will do with it on their desktop or on their laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people won't avoid Steam.
No, I'm still undecided if I'm even going to install it. I've yet to check it out, and you know, I've just. Thinking about it, I don't know if I have any reason to install it. Windows 7 works for me, and you know, so I'm gonna kind of lay back and let it release and see what happens and take it from there.
There's lots of evidence. There's lots of people who have tested, I guess, the preview versions that and say it's faster. It's in terms of performance, it's much faster. It, you know, it boots up faster, loads up programs faster, and things like that. So just in terms of that, it just sounds like I might be interested in getting it. So that's just me.
Yeah. No, I would actually be interested if that's the case as well. I mean, I always want faster everything. So yeah, it's just weird. I'm still undecided, which usually by now, you know, I have my mind made up. So I'll probably wait a week or two and then get it.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's going to be very, and of course we have the Surface tablet coming out, and we've been, you know, again, Microsoft's been pretty quiet about Surface ever since that press event that they held in June. You know, they've been putting out these banner ads and street art ads in various cities around the U.S., but they haven't really told us anything like pricing.
The most important thing,
which is the definitely the most important thing, and you know, I'm actually looking forward to try out the Surface simply because it'll come with the cover that has the keyboard. I think a lot of other people are looking forward to it too because I think they see the things like the iPad. People like, you know, reading books and watching movies. And absorbing content on the iPad, but I think more people are probably looking forward to Surface because they see that as more of a content creator. Hopefully that's the case.
Yeah, well, and you can still consume content.
Yeah, and not to go off on too much of a tangent, but basically at my work right now, the entire sales force has iPads, and development is actually kind of. I mean, things still need to be developed for them. It's the Salesforce and all that, but there's strong rumblings out of my IT department that they're waiting to see what the Surface offers because basically the iPad has been a nightmare for corporate America because, you know, it's a really handy thing, and it really helps with people like salespeople and all that, you know, just bringing a tablet. But the infrastructure of corporate America is pretty much 99.9% Windows-based.
Yep.
So
yep.
Microsoft really has a big opportunity here, not just from a gaming standpoint, but from a all computing standpoint. So I think that's part of the reason we haven't seen pricing yet. I really think they're going to be as strategic as possible about this whole thing.
Well, Steve Ballmer has already said that, you know, don't expect, you know, the Surface tablet to be like a $199 tablet, like a Kindle Fire or something like that. Simply because he's made the point that, you know, those tablets, you know, are you going to be able to get any work done on those things? Probably not. But you'll be able to, you know, people will pay a premium if they feel they can get more features out of them. And if he can really make the Surface tablet priced around the price of an iPad, and but have it be, you know, have it be more of a work related tablet as well as a consumer related tablet, then I think that they could do pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with less than, you know, 4 weeks to go, we'll almost have to hear something about some kind of press event for the Surface any day now. I would think.
I'm waiting
especially
to,
since
I'm waiting for one to land in my mailbox.
You never know, but I mean, and of course, there's rumblings that Apple's getting ready to have their own event for their iPad Mini. So it's going to be as busy as September was for tech announcements, and it was very busy. You know, we still got a couple of pretty major ones that'll drop soon-ish. So
yeah, not to mention, I mean, they're coming out with 5 Windows phones. How I'm going to review all those phones is beyond me. But anyway, that's not really game related, so.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll see. But I think I'm actually looking, like I said, it's going to be a very interesting next few weeks. And I might as well just say this. I'm going to go over to the Build conference that Microsoft is holding just after the launch of Windows 8 in Redmond, Washington.
Nice.
So Microsoft has not really mentioned about what they're going to be talking about. Other than that, it's going to be a very memorable experience. So it'll be my first time going to this sort of event. I've been to E3, of course. I've been to E3 and GDC and a bunch of other game-related stuff. So, but I've never really been to a kind of a, you know, a hardcore PC development conference. And I'm really looking forward to going.
Well, speaking of events, I heard that they're bringing PAX, the PAX Festival, or whatever it is over in the United States, to Australia, and it could be happening
That's right.
in Melbourne. Which is great for me because I live like an hour away. So
that's
I'm
right.
Really happy
they are.
About that.
They are coming to. They are coming. PAX is indeed. They announced that that PAX Australia is definitely in the. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, I'm gonna try to look that up, but it's definitely. I think it's supposed to be coming in 2013. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it is 2013.
It's confirmed. It's definitely headed for your neck of the woods in Melbourne. So,
yeah. And of course, we have our Gaming Expo's EB Expo, EB Games, of course. That starts on October 5th. So you've got a couple more days. If you live in Sydney and you're listening to this podcast, I guess low chance. then you can get down to EB Expo somewhere in Sydney. I think it's at the Showgrounds for a couple of days starting October 5th. So
cool.
We're getting a lot of news about what they're showing there, so it's a really good lineup of upcoming games for the holiday season and a couple of other stuff into next year. So, yeah, you should head to that. Unfortunately, I can't make it, but oh well.
Oh, but July 19th to the 21st, 2013 in Melbourne. So
nice. I'll be heading to that.
So you'll be. I'm pretty sure you'll probably be going to that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So that's it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So did you guys want to talk about what you guys been playing? I've been playing Torchlight 2 actually.
How's that? I stopped playing Torchlight the first one. About 8 hours in, I just got a little bit sick of it. But I have to. How is Torchlight 2? How does it differ from the first one?
It's just more. Really? It's basically just more of what you would expect in the original Torchlight, which is, you know, just a fun action RPG. You know, it's not a terribly sophisticated game. It's got, of course, it's got multiplayer. I haven't actually tried multiplayer yet, but it's just a fun, addicting little a fun addicting game. And if you liked the original Torchlight, and apparently you apparently didn't like it that much.
I liked it, but then it just sort of faded away in my like for it. Like, I really enjoyed playing it at the start. I thought, oh, this is really good. But then just sort of, I was like, oh, yeah, it's not really going anywhere. I just felt like I was doing the same thing over and over again. And eventually I was just like, I'll move on to something else. So, yeah, no, maybe I'll check out the second one.
It's definitely not, if you're expecting something like, if you're expecting something like on the level of a Diablo 3 in terms of professional, you know, game, then you're going to be disappointed a little bit. It's definitely not got the same production value, but at the same time, it's still a lot of fun. And and it's $20. You know, that's pretty cheap for a game that's going to probably give you a lot of gameplay. So I would definitely, if you liked action RPGs, and you're not tired of that Diablo type of game, then I would definitely check out Torchlight. Yeah. I should say.
Yeah, well,
nothing. It doesn't break. Let's just say it doesn't break any boundaries. I wouldn't necessarily call it revolutionary or you know, or terribly innovative. It's just fun.
Yeah, it's been getting good reviews as well, so that's always a positive. And I guess I'm one of those people that looks at reviews and, you know, sort of judges things on reviews, so.
Well, I think most people do.
Yeah. So, well, some people that do ignore it, like the recent Resident Evil 6, I've heard some I've read some terrible reviews about that, but at the same time, there's sort of some on the line.
It doesn't necessarily surprise me that Resident Evil 6 got that bad for reviews, because I think a lot of people have been kind of wondering. Well, Resident Evil 5 wasn't all that well reviewed either. It doesn't seem to be quite the disaster.
Yeah, I mean,
that Resident Evil 6 is.
It's got 67 out of 100 on Metacritic, but the user score, is 0.6. 0.6. I mean, that is horrible.
I don't really put much attention in the user reviews on Metacritic or things like that, simply because there's just too much of an opportunity to kind of, you know, screw up the averages for stupid reasons.
Yeah,
but
but I've read some pretty bad things about the game. Like, I know GameSpot gave it 4.5, and Polygon gave it 4, and a couple of other places, I think one place gave it a 3 out of 10. I mean, this is not very good.
No.
I'm terribly upset about this. I was really, really looking forward to it. Luckily, I'm just renting it through Gamefly. I'm not purchasing it, so I guess that was a smart move.
Yeah. But speaking of a game that I actually have been enjoying, I've been playing Borderlands 2. That was released. I think, midway through last month. So it's been there for a couple of weeks. I've clocked 26 hours already, which is...
Wow.
It's quite
a lot.
But not as much as one of my friends, who I swear he's playing this like 10 hours a day. He's got 71 hours in Steam on Borderlands 2. I'm just wondering, that's a lot of time. Like, I think I've played maybe 2/3 of the game so far in 26 hours, and I've been doing all the side quests. I think there's 90 side quests, and I've done about 80 of them. So there's a huge amount of content. It's a very, very, very fun game. I'm really enjoying it. But yeah, 71 hours, it's a long time.
Yeah, it is. I guess it's one of those games where they don't really expect you to finish the game. I don't know.
Yeah, and I read people in the forums were saying that it's actually just like the first one, which I never beat, so I can't attest to this, but that it actually starts getting good when you play it the second time through, that there's completely different loot, completely different monsters, that the game pretty much changes. Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't. Well, I know that there's different characters that you can choose from. I don't know if that's the reason why it changes, but yeah, I've heard that it has got pretty good replayability.
No, I mean, like they're saying, like it's brand new enemies, brand new loot, like that it's almost a different game. Like
I know the loot regenerates itself. Like it's not fixed or anything. It does create itself. But yeah, that's an interesting point. Maybe once I finish it, I might go back and have a look. But then again, I mean, I played so much of it that even if I didn't play it a second time, I felt like I've definitely got my money's worth.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever even... I have 7 hours played. I actually just fired up Steam to see. I've played it 7 hours. I'm really liking it, too. I think it's a great game. And I wasn't... I disliked the first one, but it just kind of didn't hold my attention. I think I only played 2 or 3 hours on it. And anytime I find some free time, I've been firing up Borderlands 2. I really do like it. It's just a really cool game overall. Really impressed with it.
And I like that they didn't change too much from the first one. I mean, I know that they could have done some radical re-imaging or whatever, but the fact that they just said, you know, people like the first one, we'll give you something that's pretty similar. And on some things that I've been enjoying about is some of the side quests are simply ridiculous in what the story is. There was one mission about how, I'm not sure, maybe a third of the way in, a side mission, we had to, this dude was annoyed at this like volleyball competition or something, and you have to go into the city, pick up volleyballs, and then blow up their volleyball net. I'm like, what is this? It's just ridiculous. But yeah.
That's funny. I literally just chose my first side quest today. I had to assassinate some people, and I kept dying over and over, so I decided to call it a day.
Yeah. No, the side quests are really good. Definitely add a lot more content, and they're not all the same. Like that's also a really good thing. You don't feel like you're doing the same thing over and over with the side quests.
Well, what I liked about this first one that I took, I had to like take out like 4 different assassins, but there's actually like a plus version of it. Like if to take out the first one with the pistol, take out the second one with the sniper.
Oh, I remember that mission. Yeah. The side objectives or something.
Yeah. So that's just a cool little touch how they do it. And what's funny is I played 7 hours. I probably could be much further along, but it's a type of game I just find myself doing stupid stuff just for the sake of it. Like once I found out the skags, I think they're called, you know how they throw stuff at you?
Yeah.
Once I found out that was like a challenge or whatever, I had to max it out, so I got all 5 levels on it. I just sat in the gunner position in my Jeep, and I was just shooting the stuff that they threw to get the challenge done. And there was no rhyme or reason to why I was doing it. I was just having fun, you know? And I think that's the ultimate testament to the game. It really is fun.
Oh, what class did you choose for your character?
The guy with the turret. Which one is that?
Yeah, the commando. Yeah, I chose him as well. I just thought...
Yeah. I had read online,
the basic one.
Yeah, I read online that, you know, because I've mainly been playing it by myself. I did play twice now with other people, but
I've played the whole game by myself, so yeah.
Yeah, and I read online that if you're going to play by yourself, that you almost have to choose that guy because of the turret. So
I'm level 28 or something, and I've upgraded my turret so much, it just destroys everything. I don't even need to kill anything myself. Yeah, it is good.
Yeah. So it really good game. The other I have, just real quick, I've checked out the Firefall beta and the Hawken beta, both on PC.
Oh, really? How are both of those? I'm interested in both games, actually. How are they?
Well, apparently I agreed to some kind of NDA, but I'll still talk about them anyway.
Oh, okay. All right.
I really only checked out both pretty quick. I actually had major issues installing Firefall. I've never had so many issues installing a game. I had to like actually use Get Flash. It's like a download or whatever, because the file kept getting corrupt. Like a testament to the support team on the Firefall team, though. They said, if you have any issues, you know, contact us. I had someone respond to my email within like 2 minutes. It was like pretty amazing. And they
Oh,
were
not
like,
bad.
yeah, they were like, you know, a lot of people are having issues downloading the file. We apologize, but you need to use the service like a get, you know, get flash or whatever it was. And even when I did that the first time around, it was corrupted. But I finally got it after 3 nights of trying. And so I probably could have played a lot more, but what I've played so far, it actually seems pretty cool. It's like, you know, it's definitely has a MMO feel to it, but it's a third person game. And the one thing, it's the performance seems, they need to do something about the performance, because there's time where the frame rate just drops to like an insanely low rate. And it's actually a really taxing game on systems, which is kind of surprising.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, I think the whole idea is it's going to be free to play, right? And
right.
It's a taxing game. It's crazy. It's one of the most taxing games I've played on my PC to date, actually.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's a little strange considering they want to make it a free to play, because I don't think people that have, like, you know, integrated graphics or lower graphic cards, I don't even think they're going to be able to run it, at least in its current state. But it seems pretty fun. It's you get your little quests, and what I like about it is you know, it's not PvP right away, but there are other people in the world, and they can actually help you out on your quest. And I found people so far, and it might just be because it's a closed beta, but so far everyone's like really like, there's literally in the chat people are saying, "Does anyone need help? I'll come meet you. Where are you?" And like, people are assisting people in the quest and stuff. So I think it's probably going to wind up being fairly successful. It seems like it's got a pretty good formula so far. And Hawken, I unfortunately had major connection issues, and they still say it's an alpha. They don't even say it's a beta. This is like the alpha.
Yeah.
So I guess that's, you know, why they do these things, to iron out that sort of stuff. So I was literally able to play a 7-minute match, and that was it. And it seemed awesome, though. I mean, it just seemed awesome. It seemed like the mech game that everyone's always wanted, to be honest. It was an outright mech game. There was a ton of customization options, even though most of them are locked because it is the alpha. And you just felt the weight of the mech. Like, it was a great mech game, and the visuals of it really are something unique. It's got a really great look, and that game runs pretty good overall in its current state. I was able to turn up a lot of settings and still get like 60 frames per second. So but both games look incredibly promising, and I think they're both going to probably be well received among the PC gaming community once they're released.
Yeah. We also got Mech Warrior Online, which is coming out, hopefully, you know, should be launching out of its beta test later this year, I hope. So there's a lot of good free to play high quality, you know, not, you know, high end PC games coming out soon. Not your typical stuff that you see in that genre.
Yeah.
We can talk quickly about what's coming out next week in terms of games. We actually got quite a few games coming out next week. I'm actually looking forward to playing XCOM Enemy Unknown, which is kind of weird because I'm not really into the turn-based strategy game, but it looks like, from what I've read, and I could actually download the demo right now if I wanted to, but I'm actually looking forward to playing, you know, Firaxis' you know, reimagining of the XCOM franchise. And
not to be
also
confused with the first person shooter, of course.
Which may not actually be a first person shooter anymore. It's confusing. But anyway, Dishonored, which is the new game from Arkane Studios, which was acquired a while back by Bethesda Softworks. This is Bethesda Softworks' big 2012 game. This is the kind of the steampunk stealth first-person shooter with some interesting art design and direction. I got to play a little bit of it at E3 and also over a year ago at QuakeCon. And it looks like it's going to be, at least in terms of the art style, it'll look very different than other first-person games that we've seen. So
yeah. We'll I'm really see looking forward
to it. We'll play.
I think
go ahead.
Be like a total surprise and just blow it. It has the potential to be absolutely amazing or horrible. I don't think there's going to be much in between. And
yeah.
I'm actually leaning towards amazing based on what I've seen. I think it just has a really unique take on things. And if the execution's there, I think that's going to be one of those games that people are just going to look back on and say, you know, this was a really good game that wasn't, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's on people's radars. We're talking about it, obviously, but it's still not incredibly widely known right now. And I just think, you know, like you guys, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it has massive potential.
Yeah. I'm having trouble getting onto my Bethesda contact, but I'm really hoping I can nail down a review of the PC copy. No promises though.
Yeah. And another game, an Xbox 360 exclusive, Fable the Journey, which, you know, this is Lionhead's latest Fable game. Haven't heard really, there hasn't been really a whole lot of buzz about this game ahead of time, which is weird because the Fable games have all been fairly big hits for Microsoft, but I think they're kind of burying this one kind of a little bit, maybe for some reason. Mm. Not quite sure why. And Just Dance 4 from Ubisoft, which is otherwise known as Ubisoft's current cash cow.
Yeah, that is the one I'm going to be playing the least. In other words, never.
Never, yeah. Just that I mentioned it, because it's actually probably going to sell more copies than any of the other games that we mentioned. But
yeah, that is true.
Friends that say it's the one reason to own the Kinect. I mean, it's... That's a huge trend. Yeah.
All right.
That's why I don't own a Kinect, because they're all dancing games. Yeah, anyway.
Well, anyway.
There's some other games. Doom 3 BFG Edition. What do you guys think of that?
I think it's coming out the week after next week. It's basically just a revamp of the original Doom 3 came out in 2004 with some new levels. So kind of hard for me to get too excited about that, you know.
Yeah, I'm not particularly excited either.
So
it's more Dishonored for me. Maybe XCOM.
XCOM, and I think XCOM and Dishonored are going to be the games that I will be most interested in checking out next week.
And I was going to check out Resident Evil 6, but not anymore after the review.
Not so much. Not so much. Yeah. Got better things to do.
I've got to finish Borderlands 2, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm still going to play it. I'm still going to see if it everyone says.
Oh, fair enough.
All right. Well, I guess that will do it for our new podcast episode 30. We will be back next week. We'll be hopefully be talking about the games that we're playing, hopefully some XCOM and some Dishonored and any other non-controversial news that we will talk about next week. So
no controversies this week, guys.
I'll try and keep the controversies down to a minimum. So for Tim and for Larry, this is John, and thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. We hope that you'll be back next week, where we will talk some more about some cool games that we'll be playing. But until then, goodbye for now.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.